Hello and welcome to this ERS podcast, where we will be discussing the concept of the green asthma patient. I am Arzu Yorgancıoğlu and I am the chair of the ERS Advocacy Council. Later on, I will be talking with three experts on this topic to give me their personal perspectives on the risk of exposure to air pollution, the impact of inhaler devices on the environment, and what it means to be a green asthma patient. GINA has chosen Closing Gaps in Asthma Care as the theme for the 2022 World Asthma Day. So clear gaps exist for asthma patients around the world, affecting their access to diagnosis, treatment, and care. There are also gaps in communication, education, and awareness for patients, general public, and healthcare professionals. As climate change intensifies, the gap in the asthma care and treatment are increasing. The growing number of natural disasters across the globe demonstrate a need to manage asthma alongside environmental and climate change. With this in mind, in 2021, the European Respiratory Society launched a position statement on asthma and environment. While the outlook is extremely concerning, our statement remains hopeful that progress is possible. The concept of the green asthma patient is intended to give asthma patients the opportunity to make conscious choices to reduce their carbon footprint without compromising their health. The ambitious European Union Green Deal and other regulatory action could help to tackle many of these challenges. But there are still many complex issues to address for asthma patients, such as access to inhaler devices in the light of the proposed F-gas legislation. There is clearly a lot more we need to understand about the link between asthma and the environment. I am joined now by Zorana Jovanovic Anderson to tell us about the impact of long-term exposure to air pollution for asthma patients. Zorana is based at the University of Copenhagen and is chair of the ERS Environment and Health Committee. Welcome, Zorana.
Thank you, Arzu.
What do we know about the environmental impact throughout the lifetime of asthma patients?
So when we talk about environmental impact on asthma patients, we talk mostly about air pollution, which is the number one environmental risk factor for disease in general, and especially a very important risk factor for asthma. We know that exposure to air pollution since birth, really, has a negative impact on our lung function, especially in small children already who are under development. Exposure to air pollution can result via this impact on lung function in development of asthma. And this continues really throughout our lifetime, that air pollution can impair growth in lung function and later also development of asthma at any stage of our life, in adulthood or even in elderly age. So this is one mechanism how air pollution increases in healthy people risk of developing asthma due to air pollution. Another very important aspect of air pollution is that in people that already have asthma, no matter how they got it, whether it's genetic or due to air pollution or some other factors, they experience daily worsening of their disease when they're exposed to high levels of air pollution in the large cities on the days where we really have dense air pollution, when it's cold and people burn their fireplaces and there's a lot of traffic, or if they commute in the heavy trafficated streets or so on. People with asthma can feel this and it can result in triggering of symptoms, difficulties breathing, and even need for medication, or even need for hospitalizations in some cases. And illustrating very important impact on asthma patients is the tragic death of a girl, Ella Kisri Debra, who died, just a six-year-old girl with severe asthma, who died in 2013. And the recent court ruling after many years has found and established the cause of death was air pollution and lack of information to parents about risks related to air pollution, as well as lack of City of London to comply with nitrogen dioxide air pollution. So this is really a historical case and an illustration that air pollution is really a very important and severe risk factor for asthma.
To what extent do you think the increase in climate change, related temperatures, and extreme weather events will impact asthma patients?
So related to environment, of course, now we have more and more focus and understanding that climate change is also a very important risk factor for our health. And again, asthmatics are a little bit in the center of that and some of the groups that are most sensitive to changes in our environment and climate-related changes to temperature and heat, which is one of the most studied aspects of climate change. So we know now we have experienced, even in Europe, increasing number of heat events, heat waves, gradual changes, warmer temperatures every year. We break some records. And we know that asthma patients don't do well on a days that it's very hot, especially in combination with high humidity and hot days that, again, asthma patients have these asthma symptoms. Related to heat and warmer weather, we will also see a number of other events that exacerbate exposure to air pollution. In dry weather, we see more resuspension of dust particles. We see increase in sandstorms, transportation of sand from North Africa to European cities. We have seen these episodes in the last part of years. This will bring more exacerbations to asthma patients. Another related mechanisms of how heat will bring more air pollution is to increase risk of wood fires. We've seen this in South Europe every summer. And these can bring extreme exposures to air pollution in local areas, but also which travel thousands of kilometers and can affect many people throughout Europe. On the other range of extreme weather, we will also see more rainfall and more extreme showers and rainstorms, which also have impact of asthma patients by increasing humidity, a lot of times indoors, or rain showers can sometimes, after rain, after thunderstorm, bring surge in ozone that also a lot of asthma patients respond to negatively. And another aspect of climate change I would like to mention is also change in allergen exposure. We know that with more warmer climate in many areas, we will see introduction of new allergens in new areas or prolongation of allergen season in existing areas or combination of new allergens interactions. And since about half of the asthma have allergic asthma, we'll see that many patients will also be affected by this increase in exposure to allergens, which will exacerbate their allergic asthma. So this is just to illustrate climate change is a more complex issue, but will definitely have impact of asthma patients in a number of ways in combination with interaction with air pollution.
Thank you, Zorana.
Thank you, Arzu, for having me.
Of course, at the center of all these issues is the asthma patient. Before we can make any changes, we need to consider their viewpoint and experiences. So I'm delighted to be joined by Kjeld Hansen, who is not only an asthma patient, but also the chair of the European Lung Foundation. ELF is a patient-led organization that works internationally to bring patients and the public together with healthcare professionals to improve lung health, advanced diagnosis, treatment, and care. Hello, Kjeld.
Hello, Aso. I'm very pleased to be here with you.
Kjeld, let's begin with the concept of the green asthma patient. What does that mean for you?
Thank you for that question. I think it's a very interesting problematic that we are facing in these years. So the problematic of the green asthma patient is often linked to the development of asthma in healthy people and more narrowly to asthma patients due to the issues surrounding inhalers. But I think in relation to the issues around F-gases and the absence of recycling schemes, we're also facing a broader problematic. So I believe a broader perspective on this could also be useful. So I think respiratory patients has a lot at stake when it comes to the environment and climate change. So the essence is to develop a choice for patients to be able to take green choices in their everyday life, as well as in their treatment of the asthma disease. There are massive developments in other sectors, such as the consumer goods and transportation sectors. So we are asking ourselves, why not also in asthma treatment? I think it's very useful to have a debate like that and to develop our conceptual understanding of how the environment and climate change should be approached in the lung health communities, both by the green asthma patient, but also by green respiratory patients in general.
It does seem that a lot of emphasis has been placed on asthma patients and their use of inhaler devices. But it seems a little unfair, given that they have no say in reformulation, development, or testing. It's easy to say that patients should adapt to these changes for the sake of the planet, but what kind of reaction are you seeing from respiratory patients across Europe? Are they happy to endorse these changes?
I think at the moment, I don't hear any evidence that anyone is being forced into taking green choices. I think at the moment, it's formulated as a desire to be more green because it can also help to lessen the effect on other people as well. So I think there is an importance in recognizing the impact of climate change on the respiratory patients, and there is a need for action. But what action is it then? I think we should discuss a transition so that more can be done in order to prepare both producers, healthcare professionals, and more importantly, patients for such a transition and how it would affect them. So we are not suggesting that any patients, nor anyone else for that matter, should be pushed into the process without being prepared. And we are certainly not suggesting that this should lead to an inferior or compromised treatment of patients. So my view is that green patients and green choices should be important for everyone, probably even more so for the lung health communities who are affected directly by, for example, air pollutions. But we also have to look at patients as citizens, and green issues are important for all citizens. But lung health patients, they have a special stake in this debate. And the green respiratory patient is articulating this problematic and is looking for choices to manifest this conviction, of course, in collaboration with other stakeholders, not taking on the responsibility for themselves alone.
Thank you, Kelt.
Thank you, Arthur.
My final guest is an international authority on aerosol science and inhalation medicine. Omar Usmani is based at the National Heart and Lung Institute in London and is chair of the ERS Assembly 5. Omar, let me start with the European Green Deal that is looking to phase out inhaler devices with harmful emissions of fluorinated greenhouse gases, in which is referred to as the F-gas legislation. So in particular, the European Commission argues that all the hydrofluorocarbons in these devices will end up in the atmosphere and that their usage has increased by 45% between 2015 and 2019. To counter this, they say that there are two suitable climate-friendly alternatives available on the market, which could help to significantly reduce the level of emissions by 2050. At very little cost on the manufacturers and the patients. On the face of it, it makes sense, but I would like to learn what you think about it, Omar.
I mean, it's very clear we need to tackle usage of F-gas at a global level, continental level, national level. And I think the key point here is alternatives. What do we mean when we talk about alternatives? Yes, there are alternative devices. And we come back to, I think, the theme of what we've been talking about is we need to put the patient in the center and we need to consider and focus on the patient. So can the patient use the alternative? And you know, we've said this time and time again that the greenest inhaler is the one that the patient can use and will use. So with the alternatives and the variety of devices, we need to recognize that devices are not interchangeable in their clinical effect. And we need to be careful when we're switching devices. So we need to personalize the device to the patient, because if a patient is changed and their clinical state worsens, then there is a cost. There is cost to the patient in their clinical health. There's a cost to the system in terms of seeking help from the healthcare practitioner or indeed being admitted to hospital. The problem, I think, Arzu, is that as clinicians, we don't assess the device in everyday practice because we're not taught about inhaler devices. And so many studies now have shown that across the board, healthcare professionals and doctors in particular lack knowledge. We focus on the drug. We're all taught about the drug in medical school, but we're not taught about the device. So fundamentally, we do need to educate healthcare professionals, patients, policymakers, and governments on inhaler devices. And so absolutely, we need to tackle F-gas use, but we really need to make sure that we are educated and we're competent in knowing about the different devices that are right for our patients.
Thank you very much, Omar. I cannot agree more. As you have mentioned, we have stated this term, the green asthma patient, and we have been talking on the green asthma patients ever since. But does that put an unfair focus on one aspect of the population with people who have particular treatment and care needs? And also, it seems a little unfair given they have no say in reformulation, development or testing. It's easy to say that patients should adapt to these changes for the sake of the planet, but do you think they can do?
I don't think it's unfair to focus on the asthma patients, but I think the principles that we've been talking about can be extended to all respiratory patients using an inhaler. It's got several components to it. It's a multifaceted approach. So when I have a patient who wants to discuss aspects related to the environment, first of all, I assess the patient's whole lifestyle. Are they recycling their waste? Are they using friendly light bulbs? Are they cycling? So I actually assess their whole lifestyle because, you know, the green asthma patient is bigger than just prescribing the right or wrong inhaler device. We need to make sure that that patient, we've got the diagnosis right. Early and an accurate diagnosis. We need to also appropriately prescribe. And the key aspect here is we need to reduce monotherapy with short-acting beta agonists. We know that overuse of short-acting beta agonists is associated with increasing morbidity and mortality. And overuse of the reliever short-acting beta agonist contributes to excess global greenhouse gas emissions. So by improving asthma control, by limiting or just controlling the reliever use and making sure our patients are on a maintenance inhaled corticosteroid will lead to better planetary health. And there are many other aspects in this multifaceted approach of using, you know, certainly in our COPD patients, and we're talking about asthma, but COPD patients, smoking cessation, pulmonary rehabilitation, making sure our patients have asthma action plans. And the key as well is making sure that they're able to engage with an inhaler device and they're trained. And the call very much for national governments to set up recycling inhaler schemes. So the focus on the green asthma patient has actually many principles, Azu, that we can extend to all respiratory patients. And you're right. I mean, they need to be involved as well in the discussion about the reformulation of the inhaler devices. And actually, two companies have committed now to reformulated low global warming propellant inhalers in 3 years' time. And so we need to give, I think, the companies the opportunity to get those devices into the clinical arena. Why? To allow us the opportunity of the range of devices to be able to prescribe and personalize to the patient.
I'm going to ask you a very brief question. Do you think that it would be more helpful if all asthma patients seek to switch to a DPI so we have less propellants of MDIs and less plastic waste of spacers? Is that a realistic objective? What do you think?
Well, we need to have the patient on board in every discussion. So if a patient wants to focus on aspects related to their inhaler and the environment, as I've just said, I think we need to think about the whole multifaceted approach to the patient's lifestyle. But specifically, you mentioned switch and you mentioned plastic waste. Well, switch. If we as healthcare professionals switch patients and patients' devices without their consent, then it destabilizes the doctor-patient relationship. And actually, this has happened and is happening. So we really need to see the patient. We need to talk to them about their inhalers. And we need to make sure that they can use the inhaler device that we're thinking of changing them to. Although I would caution that we have patients with high blood pressure. We have patients with diabetes. We've spent months to stabilize them. We don't switch treatments, do we? So when we spent months to stabilize a patient with asthma, why would we switch that patient who we've spent a lot of time and effort in a multidisciplinary approach to try and make sure that their asthma is under control? So again, I come back to the point, devices should not be considered to be interchangeable with regard to their pharmaceutical performance. And that's a key message I think we need to sort of get across. And then the other thing you said was plastic waste. Well, I think we need to reflect on the whole inhaler life cycle. So dry powder inhaler devices have a high plastic content, and they will impact more on marine life, on fossil depletion. So on one hand, we certainly protecting the skies above us by considering an alternative device with a lower global warming propellant. But in that switch, we may be increasing the plastic burden. So we've got to be careful. And again, it comes back to the point that we need to choose the right device for the patient. And the greenest inhaler is, can I say this, the one that the patient can use and will use and has been taught correctly how to use for the sake of their clinical state.
Thank you, Omar. You have already touched on this, but I would like to ask, are we unfairly penalizing patients who may not be able to switch from MDIs to other types of delivery devices? Or is it possible that a low global warming potential PMDI would be acceptable therapy, especially when they have been approved and are available?
Well, of course, a low GWP inhaler device would be acceptable. And we've got two companies who have committed in 3 years' time to have such devices available to prescribe to our patients in the clinical arena. Are we unfairly penalizing patients? Well, I think we are. I think we just need to realize that when these discussions first started, a lot of patients were quite angry. They said, having a disease and needing medicine is not a lifestyle choice. And they didn't like the comparisons with aeroplane or travel journeys or indeed hamburgers. And so we mustn't stigmatize our patients for taking their essential licensed medicines. And we shouldn't cause them unnecessary anxiety and suffering. So it comes back to the point that we would penalize them if we wanted to switch them in a blanket approach. And we must recognize, first of all, that we need to have a range of inhaler devices and we shouldn't be limited in that range. Why? Because we can tailor, we can personalize the device to our patients. Not all patients can use some of the alternatives, and there's a lot of work going on in this area. So again, it comes back. We must put the patient at the forefront, in the center, and we need to have the knowledge about inhaler devices in order to prescribe the right device to the right patient, Arzu.
I would like to conclude that the concept of green asthma patient is intended to give asthma patients the opportunity to make conscious choices to reduce their carbon footprint without compromising their health. Do you agree with me, Omar?
No, very much, Arzu. Yeah.
Thank you, Omar.
Thank you.
So, what should we be doing as part of the Green Asthma Patient Initiative? First of all, it's an opportunity to educate healthcare professionals, patients, policymakers, and more importantly, governments on inhaler devices. Remember, the greenest inhaler is the one the patient can use and will use. At ERS, we have created a video on the correct use of inhaler devices and a document detailing what pulmonary physicians should know about inhaler devices. But we must all work to reduce the greenhouse gas emissions of asthma treatments and seek a more multifaceted approach rather than simply focusing on the inhaler device. More should be done about recycling inhalers, such as the introduction of the government-supported recycling schemes. We need to encourage inhaler manufacturers to find alternatives to using plastic packaging. The green asthma patient concept demonstrates that this is not an easy fix. The Circular Economy Action Plan of the European Union Green Deal paves the way for significant health benefits and a better quality of life for asthma patients. It should also help to substantially reduce the number of new asthma cases. Ambitious policies, informed asthma patients, and improved healthcare practices will help to reduce the gap in asthma care and contribute to a more sustainable future. You can visit the ERS Respiratory channel for more podcasts featuring discussion between experts on the latest hot topics in respiratory medicine. Thank you very much.